This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
This is Pop Culture Confidential, and I'm Christina Yerling Biru. Hey everyone, welcome. Thanks for joining me for this tasty treat, a little amuse-bouche of a chat to prepare you for the excellent, dark, funny, and satirical The Menu. I'm so happy to be joined by the film's writers, Will Tracy and Seth Rees. Tracy and Rees worked together on The Onion, the satirical news publication. Tracy, a writer on Succession, wrote one of my all-time favorite episodes, Turn Haven, where the Roy family dine with the Pierces, two families on opposite ends of the political aisle, but both obscenely rich. Tracy and Rees gave their script to director Mark Mylod, who worked with Tracy on Succession, and it was just too delicious to pass up. The Menu stars Ralph Fiennes as Chef Slowick, a world-class celebrity master chef with a dark plan. A lucky group of diners paying $1,250 apiece are invited to his exclusive restaurant and island, Hawthorne, for a multiple-course menu of conceptual food with a very, very sinister ending. The diners, played by, among others, Nicholas Holt and Anya Taylor-Joy, consist of a foodie, a powerful, prestigious food critic, an actor, old and new money, a cross-section of high society clamoring to be included in this exclusive context.
Welcome to Hawthorne.
Here we are family.
Yes, sir!
We harvest, we ferment, we gel.
They gel?
We gel.
He's not just a chef, he's a storyteller. The game is trying to guess what the overarching theme of the entire meal is going to be. You won't know till the end.
So I'm going to start because I have so many questions. You mind if I call you Will and Seth?
Sure, please.
Yeah, good. Some other first names?
Yeah, right.
So Will and Seth, thank you so much for joining me and thank you for this incredible movie. I had such a great time watching it.
Oh, great. Thank you.
That's awesome. Thank you.
So Will, I understand that the idea for The Menu came from a dinner that you and your wife had in Norway, and I'm afraid to ask what happened on that dinner, but I'm going to anyway.
Will, yeah, I mean, died.
Yeah, no one died.
No, I mean, it was an intense psychodrama that was incurring only in my head. It was a quiet dinner in which nothing dramatic whatsoever transpired. But I'm a somewhat claustrophobic person, and I, for some reason, had not calculated the obvious fact that, oh, I'm going to be on an island, and it's going to be a long dinner, and I'm going to be stuck there, and we're going to be away from the mainland in Norway. And what if something goes wrong and we're being served endless amounts of kind of strange Nordic food? And I found the experience slightly disconcerting as a neurotic person, but also as a writer, found it. I was aware even at the time that would be an interesting precinct for something. Any place that dredges up that kind of extreme feeling sometimes can be it's a good sign that there might be a story there.
And was your wife able to enjoy the dinner when you're?
Oh, yes. She's been able to tolerate and sometimes even enjoy my neuroses. I think it's the greatest show on earth.
Happy to hear that.
So, and I remember telling her at the dinner, you know, I think by means of distracting myself, Seth and I are old friends and old colleagues from writing at The Onion, and so kind of old comedy writing pals. And so it seemed to me that that might be, and to both of us, that might be a fertile ground for some sort of satire and maybe ground that hadn't been tilled before.
Seth, I understand that Dominique Crenn, a French chef now based in San Francisco, was a consultant on the menu. And she's actually the first woman in the U.S. to be awarded 3 Michelin stars. What are some of the things you learned from her, the details about this world, this cooking?
Well, for me, I learned everything from her. what I learned from...
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Her is kind of what I expected a little bit, because is that she's an artist, and the dishes that Chef Slowick serve in our movie are not necessarily the types of dishes that Dominique would serve in her restaurant. She has a much warmer approach to food, and the style of her food is not as cold and not as almost mathematical as Chef Slowick's food is. And so she, as an artist, had to sort of get into Chef Slowick's headspace, and sort of how would he design this food and this script. And so she had to kind of get into character herself.
That's amazing. I thought you might get a kick out of this. This is me eating a cotton candy infused foie gras lollipop.
Sure.
Yeah. At the only restaurant, that type of restaurant I've been to, it was not
good?
Very filling.
It
didn't taste much. I needed more food, I can say. But that type of food, in terms of research, sort of debunking the experience, what did you do? How did you do that?
Yeah, in terms of debunking the experience?
Yeah.
I think that... a lot of it was about the characters that we populated that room with, but a lot of it was just doing quite a bit of research into that type of modernist food, which I think Seth and I vacillate between the two poles of thinking it's kind of magical. I look at that photo of the cotton candy in foie gras, and part of me rolls my eyes, and part of me feels like, I bet that was cool. That would have been a fun night, and I wish I tried that. I can't help but have.
I feel the same. I feel the same exact way. I mean, what a cool idea! I've never seen that before, and that somebody brought something to life that we had never experienced. So,
I think something lovely. With if you're writing something that is not to use what in Seth and I in our previous lives is more. Straight comedy writers, that word satire can be a bit of a dirty word sometimes amongst comedy writers, because sometimes it seems like a highfalutin word, about comedy that's not actually funny. But I do think there is good satire and bad satire, and I think good satire demands oftentimes to have some degree of empathy or appreciation or love for the subject or the world to really understand it and to really come at it with the nuance required.
Yeah. It has to be authentic.
I mean, typically artists don't make things for the most part. The artists don't make things because they truly hate them and they truly want to take them down. It's usually starts from a place of deep, deep love for that thing.
Or interest. Yeah, right.
What's that?
Or just fascination, interest.
Fascinating, yeah, yeah. Fascination with that thing that's actually quite healthy and not actually mean spirited. It's just, I can simultaneously be very wary of Chef and his ego, but also be utterly fascinated with how he's fascinated with his ego. And right. Understand why he is fascinated with his ego and why he is and how his ego drives him for better or worse. I don't hate him for that. And I don't love him for that. I'm just fascinated by him.
And you were talking about the patrons that you've written in this film. It's really a cross section of several types of really obscenely rich people. Talk a little bit about the people that are drawn to a place like Hawthorne and why.
I think everyone in that dining room has something to gain from what that restaurant means culturally, and even if they're not aware of it necessarily. But, you know, there's the foodie at the Tyler character, whose whole identity is based around what they're making in that kitchen. But then there's also the food critic, whose kind of cultural status depends upon people on being considered or thought of as the arbiter of what is good and what is bad in the world of food. Then there's the tech guys sort of at their table who actually have a financial stake in the product. And so everyone there, even though they maybe think of themselves as culturally somehow apart from that restaurant, it's all part of the same somewhat sickening ecosystem, which I think has made, is part of what's contributed to Chef Slowik's increasing frustration. But
there's like a certain kind of rich person, like Trump, he would never like that food, right?
I mean, that's the thing, yeah. Right? It's sort of like you look around the room like that, and there are certain people who are there for reasons of status and affluence, and that's, they are swimming where other fish like them would swim, and that's the only reason why they're there. And then there are people who are there because they actually might not be rich. Maybe they saved up. I mean, we don't really know how much money Tyler has or how much money the food critic's companion has, but they're there because it's a special occasion.
And I actually think someone like Donald Trump would not only go to a place like that, whether or not he liked the food, he would say he loved it. And he would also try to be Chef Slowik's friend because he sees an alpha and he wants to be friends with another alpha who has a lot of
the context.
Who has a lot of
cultural capital.
There's nothing more than someone like Donald Trump would love to do than put Chef Slowik in his contacts in his phone. So we see him as like a Diet Coke and like hot dog like guy or whatever. But
we've seen pictures of him in Don George.
Yeah, but he eats he loves being seen and going to like, he's a billionaire. I think the one thing that Will and I were also excited about with those people, it's not so much also their wealth, obviously that their wealth is a way in, but it's also just about entitlement and just how you can be not rich and still feel entitled. And I think there is something in our culture now of just constant consumption of content. And we don't tend to think about how hard it is to produce that content, or we don't think about the people providing it for us. All we want is just to continue to consume it. And on the other end, though, if that is your vocation, that's what you've chosen to do, to provide the content, you have to come to terms with that in some way. You can either continue doing that or kill everyone.
I mean, you've written for Succession, you know, there's White Lotus, there's Triangle of Sadness, there's all these. Why do you think the time is ripe for talking about satirizing class like this?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a dissatisfaction in the culture, maybe about people who feel as though because of this stratification of our politics and because of capitalism, people feel they have very little voice in our political process, even though we're supposedly a very advanced and free democracy. So I think, you know, it's what can we affect? How do we participate in our society? Sadly, it's more and more through entertainment. And so it's inevitable that these frustrated stories about capital are going to make their way into our entertainment, because where else can we show our activism? That's where else can we affect change? And honestly, though, Seth and I weren't, it's not an issue we talked about that much during the writing. I mean, I think we were focused specifically on culture and content and these types of restaurants and these types of egos and these types of artists. It just so happens that, you know, yes, Chef is an artist, but other artists can make a really, really expensive movie, but you don't have to be a really rich person to go see it. at a restaurant, if you're creating this really expensive, elaborate, amazing meal, there's a price point. And so the people who can make it in, the price of admission is steep. And that's part of the issue for him, is that he's limited the clientele to a certain type of person who either is very, very rich or has invested a lot of money to go to a restaurant like this because it has become an unhealthy obsession for them. So it's a very narrow and it's stultifying and creepy world that he's corner that he's painted himself into, and literally on an island.
They want me to wrap up, so I have one final question. We see Rob Yang there, who was, of course, Lawrence, CEO of Valter, right, on Succession. Who is another member of the Succession family that would have paid for this experience?
That would have Kendall, paid for this experience. I mean, I would say Kendall would probably, this is closest to Kendall. I think he would like to be adjacent to a kind of where he thinks extreme wealth and extreme disruptive creativity join. And I think he would like to think that he embodies both of those aspects.
And it would be a very fun scene to watch all the Roy family talking about their various experiences.
Yes, it would.
That'd be so funny.
It would. So now you know. Anyway, thank you so much for talking to me.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much to Will Tracy and Seth Reese for joining me. The Menu premieres in theaters on November 18th. And thank you so much for listening. Please subscribe to Pop Culture Confidential wherever you get your podcasts. See you next time. Bon appetit.
I'm Ken Harbaugh, host of Warriors in Their Own Words, a podcast that presents the unvarnished, unsanitized truth of what we have asked of those who defend this nation. As a country, we need these stories more than ever. Stories from Americans who have borne the battle, including 30-year-old remastered interviews with veterans from World War I recounting their time in the trenches of Europe, and with veterans from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and from our most recent conflicts in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other battlefields Americans may never have heard of. Hear their stories by listening to Warriors in Their Own Words wherever you find podcasts.